This is RSVNB Update, episode 344, recorded Friday, January 20th, 2012. JX wins. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVNB Update, a RuneScape podcast. 344 episodes in. Well, most don't even make it past episode 30. Trekkie's here.
Hi, everybody.
So, this week we got a pretty quiet week on the RuneScape front. Not much to talk about, so we're just going to take it easy and talk about the winter season, since that's what this week's update is all about. And, of course, we do have a rebuttal from Mark Gerhard regarding last week's article that we featured, in which it came out that Jagex was owned partially by an American company, so more on that after. And then, of course, your guys' questions, and then we're just going to wrap things up with some tech news and some other fun stuff. So,
right. So we'll just make this one short and sweet.
Yep, because really there's nothing much to mention aside from the Hattie Wolf and his brother, Skull. I'm not sure how you pronounce the accented O with the two dots above it.
No idea. You can Google Translate it if you want, Shane.
No, I don't think that'd work because that's just for an accent, so I'm not going to try that. But anyways, first part of this update is the Hattie Wolf, as those of you guys who will remember last year, the Hattie Wolf, basically the same thing. This year, it drops a cloak that recharges your gloves from last year if you have them. So, same boost there. Boost to all the combat skills. Prayer is excluded.
Yeah, that does not help me at all. Unless it's magic. Does magic and range count or no?
No, it's only melee skills.
Then
if
that's
I remember
useless.
Correctly.
That's useless.
Yeah, melee is the biggest part of the combat. There's three melee-based skills.
Yes, but me and you almost have all that maxed out anyway. You just have a way higher prayer than I do.
Well, I need to train up my strength and defense, because those two are imbalanced still. So the pause will be useful for that again. And 99 constitution is one of my goals for this year, so it will help in increasing that. So.
Okay. So about this update, pretty easy.
We two-manned it, didn't we?
Well, we had a pug guy with us when we were killing Skull.
Yeah, but I don't know if he did anything because he was just maging him, right?
Yeah, but hey, you know, that's one more. What? That's a cannon fodder right there. But T never targeted him. It was hitting me quite hard though. I kept getting hit like 500 every single time and had to eat up.
Well,
really
you know
fast.
The trick with that was that with Skull, he does that massive 500 hit. I found the hit with that is when that barrier forms around him is to just run outside the barrier, kind of like one of those dungeoneering bosses.
Okay. You didn't tell me that when we were inside.
Well, I just figured that out. I thought you'd try it too, since you are the one that does all the dungeoneering and whatnot.
I never fought the wolves, man. They're wolves. I don't fight them.
So, the paws, of course, as we said, do give a combat boost. And the boots give... Oh, yes, Trekkie, you are right. It does work for ranged and magic experience as well.
But only combat spells, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that does not help me as much unless I get the poly stick.
The poly stick?
Yeah. The new
one. How does that factor into this?
I don't feel like buying more runes.
Oh, right. I see what you mean. Okay. So.
Lazy.
The gloves are combat, Skull. Even though. I think Skull seemed like the harder one, didn't it?
I don't know. To me, both of them were kind of like the same to me because I was getting hit either way. I was getting hit pretty hard with both.
Yeah, I only used two monkfish for Hattie, so I don't know what was going on with you there.
they did not like me at all. I probably had a scent of a cat.
What?
Probably had the scent of a cat. You know, my Hellcat inside, McShane, M-Shane.
Right, and how does that relate to...
I had him out before I put it back in, so I'm guessing he smelled the cat on me.
So the wolves don't like the cats.
Yes, that's what I think.
Okay, then. And then the boots give a bonus to woodcutting and agility, which I know people are very happy about because, quite frankly, agility is one of the most boring skills in the game to some people. I still don't know how I managed to get 99.
I still agree that mining and runecrafting, I just find them so tedious.
Yeah, well, it's too bad this wasn't for runecrafting, but I don't know how that would relate to the winter season.
It would actually, you can say you're making winter runes.
Right.
Or you're making,
I think that makes about as much sense as a time rune.
Or you can say you're making tons of steam runes, and you say you're warming up the earth in preparation for spring.
Yeah, that could be it. You know, another thing we had to do with Skull is to summon him, we had to make this huge bonfire. When we got there, we needed to add 84 logs. So I'm assuming you probably need 100 logs or something, because there was only one person there doing it before.
I did a mini count. It was roughly 110 or so. Around that, okay. 110, 125, or somewhere around that. So more people you have, the better. And there's a bank in miscellaneous, so you can always run up there and grab a full inventory and run down really quick.
Yeah, and also it's a good time if you've done the Wise Old Man quest, you can modify a teleport tablet and teleport right to the Relica House portal there, and off you go. So that's a good way of getting there. And as Trekkie said, just use one of the banks up north. Rather than Miscellanea, I use the...
Narda?
The bank and... No, Nate is not.
Oh, well, right. Why did I say Narda? That's in the south.
That's the desert.
Well, but, that's the one I meant, but I... we both started with an N, right? Chill, Shane.
Yeah. All so, right, so, as with the Hattie Paws, these do... double the woodcutting and agility experience gained by a certain amount. I mean, for a certain amount of time. So if you need to work on one of those skills, you might as well use the boots for those, whichever one you don't like. So
agility. Oh, God.
I got 99 in both, so I don't know what I'm going to do with my boots.
Well, you can always going into like the what is it, the snowy hunting places and start making some RuneScape pictures with it.
Yeah,
Or go sledding. You can go sledding in the Arctic. Remember?
Yeah, you know these boots. They reminded me of, you remember on that I'm gonna probably get lynched for this, but Star Trek VI on Rurapente, the big Klingon guy with his suit to keep him warm. That's what these boots reminded me of when I first saw them.
Mm-hmm. Why would you get lynched for that?
Why would I get what?
Why would you get lynched for that?
Oh, just the early Star Trek reference.
It's you and me. Deal with it or leave.
All right, so there's really not that much else to say on these two. They'll be in the game until sometime in February. I forget what the exact date is. I think it's something like the 14th. And you have until the 16th of May to use your boots and your paws.
Great. No, so about 2 months. Well, no. Oh, like May, right? May or March?
May.
So I got 5 months. Well, four months, I guess. Four and a half.
Yep. So that's that. Also this week, in the tweaks and fixes section, I want to talk about the new stat icons now, because these stat icons have been a bit of debate for everybody, whether or not they're interesting or not, and people like them. What are your thoughts? Do you like the new icons?
Well, to be honest, like, if you look at it from your stat page, I just think the color kind of clashes with each other, because there's a lot of orange on a black background. And, you know, the icon, it was like, the icons don't look exactly like how would you expect. But the thing is that if you ever go into those big scrolls with the skills, like, you know, when you have a genie or you're doing your penguin runs, the pictures actually look really nice when they're nice and big. Have you taken a look? They look really nice when they're nice and big.
I've seen one of those, and they are nice. So,
but, you know, when you're making them, you know, quarter of the size, it just looks like you just slumped everything together. And, you know, some people like them, some don't. I don't know. I just think maybe like a slightly better color scheme because there's just so much orange.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing people said. They seem as though they're brighter and they pop out more, which, you know, I can see where you're coming from on that, but the icons just look a whole lot... they don't look as though they were derived from a new generation from RuneScape 2. They don't look like an evolution. They look like something completely new, as if RuneScape just launched with these icons, that sort of thing. Which is good, I think. And, you know, in order for the game to move forward, you need to update these icons for that. And, you know, some of them you can't see what they are, kind of, like they're through shading issues or stuff, but I imagine in time that'll get rectified, you know? Smithing being one of them. The smithing mm-hmm. icon, it's kind of hard to see that that's an anvil based on the way it's shaded on the bottom two quarters. So, just little things like that could be fixed along the way, but overall I think they did a good job on them.
Yeah, it looks really glossy, you know, but it just seems so small, it just seems so clumped together, but when they're nice and big, I think when it's nice and big, I think everybody kind of will like it.
Yeah. Also with this, they updated the skill advance guide. Now this is a bit more controversial in my view, because these guides used to just sit on top of the game window. Now they completely black out the game window, which, you know, I really don't agree with, because you want to be able to see what's going on around you. At least I want to. So I don't like that they black out the entire screen.
One thing I don't kind of like, though, is that they kind of put it all together. And, you know, how before you clicked on the Herb Blower, yes. The only Herb Blower came out. Now it's every single one. So you have to, well, at least you can use your mouse wheel, but it's not as right there when you need it type of thing.
Well, you know, it makes sense a bit from a usability standpoint to do it this way, because ideally what you want to do is you want to say, I'm on a farming run and I want to look up, say, what this Toadflax herb is ultimately used for. So you click farming, you see Toadflax, yes, here it is. Then after that, you can quickly thumb over to the Herb Lore page and see that Toadflax is used in Ceridomen brews and agility potions. So with that, you then can just quickly switch over to the other one without needing to close out. So, you know, it does make kind of sense how they did that there. But once again, I think that because it is an in-game device, the game should still be visible behind it. That and the font used in there is my only real criticism of the new skill guides. Because...
it's kind of like the same one as everything else.
Yeah, It's a font called Verdana. It's a font that ships with every computer in the world. It's been used on websites since way back when. It's even it's a very common font. And I mean, Jagex is a big company, and I'm sure they have in their graphics team somebody who could design a font. I mean, they designed their own RuneScape font for the logo. Why not take a variant of that that's readable in a smaller font size and thickness and use that in the game guide or something like that, you know, rather than just using this plain Verdana font, which, you know, it just really looks out of place compared to the rest of the game. Do you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah, it's been there for so long. They're updating everything else. Why not update the lettering too?
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen updated the lettering of the right-click text numerous times since like 2004. So why can't we get a more interesting font than Verdana? I would really like that.
They're lazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, they could design a font, but the question is, why haven't they?
Money.
Well,
yeah, they're not making as much profit as they used to, Jane.
Well, if they have a graphics team in house, why can't they just outsource that to one of them? You know.
And better yet, anyways, just hire a bunch of college students and do it for free, and I'll give you a school credit.
Well, maybe that's what they did with this. Maybe that's what they did for their user interface design, because there has been some questionable decisions made in the past on the user interfaces. I mean, all the scroll bars and stuff are still inconsistent, which really annoys me, but that's a topic for another day. So, come on, please, Jagex, please just change that font. If you change that font, I would be all over these graphical updates you're doing, including the ability to see XP whenever you attack something or gain XP. So that's something else that's also new this week. So let's say you're walking along, you teleport, you'll see that, yes, I just gained a certain amount of XP for using that teleport. It appears right above your head, then floats to the top of the screen.
Uh-huh.
Once again, I like that idea, but the Verdana font is really putting me off it because it's used everywhere, and it would just look so much better if we had an original RuneScape font floating up above the top of your head, maybe with some kind of little effect to it or something, you know, albeit subtle. But the good thing is that you can turn that off by going up to your XP counter to the left of your world map and simply right-clicking the toggle option for showing XP.
Yep, and turn off toggle XP pop-up, I believe.
Yep. And, you know, the best part of that update, I think, is that whenever you're getting XP in a skill that's not level 99, it will show you the icon of that skill up there, and you can quickly move your mouse over to it and see what your current XP is and how far you're off to your next level, which is a good thing, I think.
But one of the things that I think they did kind of poorly on was, you know, the display XP option where it displays your total XP for whatever, and you know they don't have that little background thing in the back anymore, and the white text kind of clashes with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it does, but I mean that also received a bit of an expansion too, so what exactly can be done about that? Because now you can add up to 3 counters there. The default is overall, and you can add 2 others. So I mean, it makes sense to just kind of have it there, but I do agree that it does clash a bit.
It's really hard to see with any very bright background.
Yeah, but overall, I think it's a good thing that they let you customize which experience values are shown over or tabulated over time in that top right corner there. So I'm happy about that.
And a couple other tweaks and fixes around the RuneScape. Dungeoneering Rusty coins have been recolored, which is pretty good because they were. I honestly thought they were something else when I first saw them. There were so many times I could not see them on the ground because it's the same color as the ground, so that was annoying. Vampire Banker has been replaced with a bank chest. Yay! I remember going there and people left the door open and then all the vampires started coming in?
Yep.
I remember one guy died when it was in there. It was kind of sad. Let's see, anything else kind of noticeable?
Yeah, there's one I also wanted to highlight at the end there for anybody who has some loyalty points to spend. The Golf Clap emote is now available for the next 2 weeks at the discounted price of 500 loyalty points.
Okay. Did you get it?
Might as well go. No, not yet. I'm going to, next time at Varrock, I'm going to pick it up.
Don't you mean in Birthrop?
No, remember the guy was moved to Varrock?
There's 2 of them.
Yeah. You can talk to him in Varrock as well.
Oh, okay.
Apparently the first store was so successful.
Yay!
Anyways, that's all I wanted to highlight on this, on the release notes, so unless there's anything else you'd like to highlight.
Yeah, I got... that's not it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Nothing else here that's really important. Everything else is just like little minor fixes here anyway.
Yep,
And so, yeah. So let's all go right on to the next topic. The staunchly British.
Yes. Jagex sets the record straight about its new ownership. So you'll remember last week we talked about an article on Massively in which they discussed that Jagex is now owned partially 55% by an American shareholder. So there's a huge amount of buzz about this in the community, in that people said, oh, this is why everything's been happening like that. It's because Jagex is now an American company. We feel the game is going downhill. This is why RuneFest is being in the U.S. But anyways, this prompted Mark Gerhard, the CEO, as we all know, to issue a statement on this. And he stated directly that the insinuation that this is a company that somehow now is run by bankers in the U.S. couldn't be further from the truth. Sure, we therefore have some American shareholders, but the management and the culture and the ethos and everything else is the same people in the same hands and staunchly British.
Yes, until we start seeing Coca-Cola banners over RuneScape.
You know, some games do that, but I don't think Jagex would do that because it just doesn't fit within the core
they probably won't call it Coca-Cola. They'll probably call it something like a parody of it, but we all get it. Probably call it I don't know, Cook's Cola or something. Works Cola or Cola. Hey.
But anyways, he also stated that why the profits were down in the company. He says, if you look at our company's house filings, revenues are up, but profits are down. And those aren't because we're doing a crap job. That's because we're consciously taking those profits and plowing them back into the business.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, does that make sense? Is that a good excuse as to why profits are down? Or?
Well, me and you kind of discussed it earlier. One reason profits are down is because they lost a huge influx of bots that were paying. You know, remember, the level of players, well, quote-unquote players on RS is not even close to what it was during pre-bot killing. But, you know, it's one of those things like, deal with it. It's okay. We get less players, you get a little less money, but everybody else is happier. Everybody else is happier.
Yeah, and certainly by no means Jagex is not suffering drastically from this to the point where the company would be in jeopardy. I mean, there's all these years of great success behind them. So there's, you know, it's no cause for alarm. And I mean, if you're just putting the money back into the company as an investment, surely you'll see profits later on. So I understand where he's coming from on this, and I'm willing to believe him.
But they're also doing a lot of expansion projects, which just might also be why their profit margins are relatively lower. When they're, you know, supposedly still trying to do Transformers MMO, they're doing the Stellar Dawn, which yep. We still haven't heard much information on those two MMOs anyway. And they're still working on a ton of all those little mini transactions they're trying to get new players in. And what's the other one? And they're, of course, starting the whole Fun Orb. They're making more and more every day. Well, at least creating more and more every day, I assume.
Yeah, and another thing that came from this is that they said they were very selective when it came to the board of the investors. I mean, they wanted to make sure that they had the right investors behind the company that would ensure there would be no interference in the development or operations of Jagex and all their games.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, just
I think we can stand down from Yellow Alert on this one.
Oh, funny enough, they actually do mention our work on Stellar Dawn and Transformers at the bottom of the article.
Yeah, and they say this year, so hopefully that means we'll see them this year, but you never know. All kinds of things can happen in the development process.
Hey, Shane, would you go into a Transformers MMO with me?
No, I already got enough to do.
You can be Megatron, I can be Optimus Prime.
No, that's okay. I already got enough to do.
Yeah. You can be a gold bug.
No, that's no thank you.
I'll let you. All right. I'll let you, the guy as a giant gun.
All right. Oh. So. No, I already got enough to do, and I'm not gonna try and pick up another MMO, and it's not gonna be happening. So no, but on kind of on the same track here. Well, I remember a few months ago, there was a huge discussion about one of the major botting companies, iBot, that was involved in the whole bot problem. And today we have just learned that Jagex has won their case against iBot. So this just goes to show that, indeed, that this can be fought in court and Jagex can win. So everybody else who is thinking of starting up a major botting company or is running those, I'm not sure if we have any listeners out there who do run any of those, run and hide now.
I think if they're listening to us and they think about making a botting program, something's wrong with them in the first place.
Yeah, you know, that's probably true. So anyways, I'm just going to quote a few excerpts here from this apology from the iBot developers. This came via Twitter, merciful. So, starts off with saying, we've owned and operated websites. They've been developing bots and making money to cheat off RuneScape. They've been involved in a lawsuit for the last 2 years. Jagex won the court case on every count in the case. That's the key word. They have to pay Jagex a significant sum of money. They can't disclose how much. And they're prevented by the injunction from doing everything that they were doing before, including developing botting software, helping other people develop or using botting software, or talking about Jagex, the lawsuit, or RuneScape. And they can't even play RuneScape with this. And if they break this, they say they would have to pay at least $1 million to Jagex. Also, they say that they now understand the harm that botting does to RuneScape and Jagex. And
bull.
I quote here, we'd like to apologize to Jagex and to all the legitimate RuneScape players for the damage and harm iBot has done.
Bull. Bull. Shane, you and I both know they made way more money than that. You know, if they do it again, the cost of around $1 million. That's nothing compared to how much they've made over the past couple of years. What was the other big botting website that they closed down a while back, right during the nerf, the bot busting? I can't remember the name of it.
I don't remember what it was either.
I think RS Cheater or something like that. You know, even they did the whole.
That's one of the ones that was closed down here. RSCheater.net.
You know, even they were apologizing for, you know, creating a botting program. It was like, you guys,
you don't apologize for this because you know exactly what you're doing.
Exactly. And, you know, I would like to say that there's a moral code within all gamers, is that if you're playing a single player game, go ahead, cheat as much as you want. You don't affect anybody else. But once you go out multiplayer, it's really frowned upon.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. So,
and you know, the other thing is that you know they're not really started. They made so much money off of it, but I think this is like another step into like trying to make more video games more bot free. I can imagine, you know, Blizzard and a couple others start winning some of these court cases. Well, hopefully anyway, because if RS win it, and they're relatively small compared to Blizzard and some of the other MMOs, you can imagine. After some time, how much money Blizzard can make extra just from suing.
Mm-hmm. And they also say here, in the next few weeks, our website's domains and code and customer details will be passed over to Jagex, along with details of all those people who we know have developed scripts for iBot and sold or resold those scripts.
But, you know, the thing is, though, I think this is just for those who are botting with this program before, I would assume that, one, if you're a personal player, you probably might have gotten banned already, Or two, you're like so scared out of your mind that you're not even touching the bot program anymore ever since they did that. But the other thing is that obviously there are people who have like a whole warehouse full of computers just botting and botting and botting just to sell the gold on eBay. And yeah, quite frankly, so. They probably changed their IP like 10,000 different times using prepaid credit cards or something like that in order to. So they'll never get caught. Those people never get caught. They lose one account. All right, I'll just make 10 more.
And in their quote apology, they say that all references to iBot and Impulse Software will disappear from the internet. We'd encourage those of you who have scripts or iBot to delete them and certainly not to try to use them or develop them. We've not been able to fix them in any way following the bot nuke week, but if you did manage to get them working again, you'd be open to the same claims Jagex has made against us. So again, this is an excerpt from the letter that was posted on Twitter from our friend Merciful. So links will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. We'll also be including a link to the full agreement.
And this also kind of proved that, you know, we tried. These kind of said we tried to make them work after the bot nuke, which means they were actually trying to, you know, stay in business. It's just Jagex, with all the pressure from Jagex and the legal system, either crush them down, or they finally said, like, dude, the bot program is just not working anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this is good. It's a precedent-setting victory for Jagex and essentially botting in general on RuneScape and hopefully unethical practices and all kinds of games like that.
So, yeah, that's basically it. I highly doubt they really started. I bet they made so much money off it. They probably have a small island somewhere.
You have to know what you're doing with this, and you know there's no way that you can say, oh, we're so sorry, we you know, anyways. Alrighty, so that's all we got for RS updates this week, so hope you enjoyed that, but now we're going to move on to questions.
Alright, so start with the auto question from Aiden.
Hey guys, Aiden again. This week I have two questions. Shane, do you still keep in touch with the old Brad? Also, which god in RuneScape do you think is the best one? Zimrock, Bandos, Sarah Doman, or any other one I miss? Thanks, and have a great day.
So, Shane, do you still keep in touch with Brad 1.1?
Yeah, I email him from time to time. Last I heard from him was around the Christmas time. Everything was going good, so.
I haven't heard from him in a while. Last time I saw him, every time I catch him online, he's like, oh, I gotta go out and do something. I'm like, all right, it's okay, you know, take care, good luck, and that's pretty much it. So I haven't talked to him and like really talked to him in a while. So Shane, what's your favorite god, RuneScape god?
Oh, Sarah Doman.
Wimp.
Well, I mean, like, it depends in what context. I mean, in the context of wanting to roleplay or something, I'd say Zaros. But, you know, as to just who would be the, like, one that the most normal people and the one that would be the one to model activity after, I think that would clearly be Sarah Doman, don't you?
I vote for Elindis.
Remind me which one that is again?
She has a little altar in Narda. She's kind of the goddess of healing down there.
Okay.
And basically, you know, I like her because whenever I pray down there, she gives me a little health bonus. I'm like, yay! It gives me back full health and then some. Yay!
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's much to say aside from that. I remember back in the day when this whole thing was starting out and we first learned of Zaros, I thought that was a really neat idea, and you know, that was the one to be interested in because, you know, it was just everything was just becoming unearthed after the dig site quest, and desert treasure, you know, and later on, Temple at Sentistan and everything, how that all linked together. I think we're in for some interesting stuff in the future with Zoros. Just because the whole Majorat desert treasure line is over, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Dragonkin comes into all this and see what kind of stuff Zoros wants to stir up.
Hmm. Well, we know that Zamorak was one of his top generals until he got betrayed.
And, yeah, remember that was mentioned in the Firemaker's Curse quest?
Yeah, it was mentioned in that as well. And she kind of came back to life when kind of allied with him. So I'm thinking in the future we'll have something to do with her and the Dragonkin. Well, actually, one possibility is that you know how powerful their fire blasts were? Or the Dragonkin's fire blast? Well, I'm assuming with the Firemaker's Curse and how we have the book, in the future we may find a way to nullify or lessen the damage from the Dragonkin when we go fight them.
That makes sense because, you know, you can use like a dragon fire shield and maybe modify one of those or something like that. And from that, just
they'd probably still be very
in previous quests.
They'd probably still be very hard to defeat, but you know, I believe we'll have something there to either help us or hurt them.
I think they'd be mad at us for meddling in their affairs like that.
Well, they did burn down Edgeville. Actually,
You know, I'm wondering when that's going to get fixed. I mean, that's taken a long time to fix, and it's an eyesore, personally, I think so, when you go through there.
Shane, it's a government job. What you expect? You know, it probably costs 3 white party hats just to fix one roof in the bank. Wait, that's what you should do, man. We should start a little construction business in Runescape, and then we can charge the bankers to fix up Edgeville. Think of all the white party hats we can get. You know, we get Alex a couple other 99 constructions. We supply the herbs and stuff to pot them up to 103. Find a way to smuggle potions out of Dungeoneering. Start a little construction crew. Think about it, Shane.
Yeah, good business opportunities.
Yes, anyways. We have the lobes for business.
I think we kind of went off track there with that one, so thank you, Aiden, for that. Next one is from Systemless. Sorry, last week I had a thought. It was gone when I passed by. My question this week is, how many accounts do you have? And if you only have one, how long have you had it? Also, when will be the next time a fan gets the chance to come on the show?
Okay, so I'm thinking you and I both have only one account anyway, just yours and mine.
Yep, that is correct.
I don't have any other ones, and Shane definitely doesn't have any other ones, so it's just one and one. And we said this many times, I've had this account since 2003. I think, what, you were 06 or something?
No, 05? Let's see. RuneScape 2 came out end of March 2004. I had my account during the RS2 beta, so either January 2004 or November, December 2003, my account was created, but I didn't start seriously playing until June of 2004.
Okay. Okay, so we have the next guy. This is from CG Impulse.
We didn't answer his second question.
Oh, oops! Mad Batch system list. Don't worry.
So, okay, second part. Next time the fan gets to come on the show, I'm not entirely sure on that because we just ran a contest for the entire month of December there for somebody to come on the show at the end, and we really only received one credible entry for that. So, you know, we always hear people want to come on the show, but when the time comes, we don't get these entries in. So, I mean, I don't get what the problem is. Like, is it that you guys just don't want to put the effort into what we want you guys to do? Or do you guys just want to come on the show and just come on the show without doing anything? Or is there a specific type of contest that you guys like doing to come on the show, or what? Because, you know, I mean, in order to come on the show, it's it's a special thing for somebody to come on the show who's not a staff member. So it's not just something where we take a list of names and pick someone off that list. So, I mean, there has to be something for it. I hope you get where I'm going with that. But
so basically, when we asked you guys to enter, please enter.
If you don't, that means we're not going to be likely to do it again for a while. So with the way people didn't enter for our winter one, I mean, we might as well just wait now until the summer, I think.
Hey, but look at it this way, though. We had a nice lecture from Uncle Dano.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. That was so
maybe that was fate.
That yeah, could be. All right. Thank you, Sister. Right. Now you can read the next one.
All right.
We're still
so
getting you into the groove here.
I know. It's a slow week. Okay, so this is from CG Impulse. Hello, host of RSBNB Update. I have a question regarding the user interface. I've been recently thinking about the small changes that could make the game so much easier to play regarding the user interface. One thing I love to see is a drop option while in a bank. Tell me what you guys think about that. I think that a rechangeable UI compared to a is too graphical when they really need to be focusing on usability. Thanks and sorry for the rant. Sincerely, CG Impulse. So Shane, would you like to have a drop option in the bank?
No, because that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because if something is in the bank, you have to think, what's a bank in real life? A bank is somewhere that you go to store money, right?
Or you have a storage box.
Yes, and you can store other things in a bank, like a safety deposit box and whatnot. So you have to technically take something out of the bank before you can get rid of it. So, you know, in doing that, you are essentially violating the whole drop thing. And, I mean, I can see the where option and stuff, but still, you have to put it in your... you have to withdraw it into your inventory first before you can drop it. So, I can understand that. Maybe add the drop option if you withdraw it into your inventory first, like you can currently wear stuff. That might be something to do. But I don't know. I think that might be going a little bit too far on extending the purpose of that whole hybrid operation between banking and the user interface. Because if you think about it, it's supposed to be one system together, and that is to equip your character. And equipping your character has nothing to do with dropping a certain item. Dropping an item is a way of cleansing your inventory. So, I mean, I can see why some people think it would be nice, but it doesn't make sense from a usability standpoint. But as for your other question about changing the interface and just doing too much work graphically on it, I completely agree with you there. And, you know, an interface is really defined by its core characteristics and what makes it up. I mean, you can start with a basic interface and do what's called a wireframe, in which you lay out the basic components of the interface. And if you were to take a wireframe of today versus when RSHD first launched, assuming you're using the expandable or full screen mode, you would see that these two wireframes are exactly the same. So in a way, the user interface really hasn't changed since then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's all a key part of making the interface usable and ensuring that it helps the person do what they want to do, because if you're helping the person do what they want to do, the end user, ultimately you're making them more productive. So in order for that to happen, your interface needs to at its core be designed well. And there's a whole selection of things that come into interface design to make it work well and whatnot. And, you know, JAGX violates a few of these with inconsistencies and whatnot. But one thing they do have going for them is that the structure in general is relatively the same, aside from a few windows here or there. So they could do a whole lot more with the interface, make it more modern from a sense of working from the ground up. So That's my thoughts on it. And you know, it's timely to ask this question because this week I did an article for The Informer actually talking about user interface design that is for desktop applications, but the same thing can apply to RuneScape. And in fact, I did mention in the article that come spring this year, once all the user interface changes they talked about in December and this month are done, I am going to take a look at the interface of where we came from and where we ended up. So that is serving as a springboard into that update whenever that happens. So you can find that at informer.rsbnb.com. I'm done with that one, unless you have anything you want to talk about on the interface.
I still would like to be able to map out the function keys to whichever one I want instead of what they design.
Yes.
I would prefer to have them in order, but I keep forgetting which is which, and I always end up pressing like two or three before I find the one I want.
Yes. Or just even let the user customize which keys will be used. I mean, like if you're not much of a quester, you might not want to be pulling up your quester interface all the time, right? But if you're always working on combat, you'll be wanting to pull up your attack styles, your interface, and maybe your magic spells if you're doing magic-based combat. So you could bind those to F1, F2, F3, and then just tap quickly between them with whatever you're doing rather than remembering which keys they are all over the keyboard, right? So that's something they could do with that. Another thing they could do with this is that they could allow the repositioning of the HUDs, because you know some people might think that you know I don't want this new thing they brought out this week that shows the XP appearing right in the center of the screen. Maybe I want it off to my left, or maybe when I'm doing a quest, I want quest HUDs to appear above my chat box. Or maybe whenever I'm doing some kind of XP, I want the counter to appear above my XP pane or something like that, you know? So that's another thing I think they could do to make it more usable.
Yes, lots of other MMOs let you customize the HUD somewhere.
Yes.
So you can always move them around. But is Java capable of doing this?
Yes. Yes. Of course. I mean, just the fact that RuneScape is written in Java is a pure testament to the fact that Java is not a toy language, it's as some people make it out to be.
Well, they've really done a lot with Java, considering all so many years. We went from a simple coffee cup to something like this.
Yeah, that is true. So, anyways, nice question about the interface. You got anything else on that, or should we move on?
I got nothing. Just wish they would let us remap some keys.
Or another thing maybe would be to have more interactions with the mouse. Customize the mouse actions maybe.
Oh yeah, I have 5 buttons on my mouse. I forgot about that. I would like to be able to use my other 2.
Yeah, exactly. See? I mean,
forgot.
You can quite easily get the mappings of mouse events in Java, so it'd just be a matter of creating a user front end to allow them to do that. So the possibilities are endless, but of course, you know, Jagex is a company that prides itself on its weekly content updates, whereas, you know, I imagine something along the lines of a simple user interface change that requires software development, interaction with the engine, isn't as high priority as, say, a new quest or some other type of new piece of content.
Yeah, but so far most of their content won't last as long. They may last a couple, and then it will die down, and then it may pick up a little bit, but it'll never reach as much as the first week. Remember Trouble Brewing?
Yep.
Does anybody do that at all?
I'm guessing not.
Exactly. You don't know. I don't know. Even the official clan is basically empty over there.
Yeah. All right.
Ooh, it's cold.
Thank you, CG Impulse. Next one?
You do it. This is more your alley.
No, I read the last one.
Alrighty. I thought I did. All right. So this question is from Firing 401. Do you view the SOPA Papa? Is that how you say it?
Pippa.
Pippa, there you go. Pippa. Pippa Blackout as successful, and what do you think about the anonymous reaction ever Mega Upload got taken down? Personally, I think the Blackout was successful. Two out of six of my teachers brought the subject up during class, and I was surprised to see how many regular people heard about the bill. For the classes that did not mention it, I attempted bringing it up by asking DJ Hughes about what happened to Wikipedia. And what's your opinion for the ICANN's draconian rules about government approval ID for registering a GLTD? Thanks for the regular show. It keeps me busy while I'm doing redundant household chores and boring classwork. So Shane, you go first. This is your alley anyway.
First one. I don't think you can fully credit the whole Pippa SOPA blackout as a success, as in turning all the Congress people behind it, because you know they're not going to respond to Wikipedia and whatnot being down. I mean, I think the whole point of the blackout was to bring the attention to the people who are not technically inclined, who use Wikipedia and whatnot, to do that. But at the same time, you have to ask yourselves, it's not for Wikipedia, but for other websites. I mean, is it worth us to shut down for a day to bring awareness to this? Personally, if I was running a business, I would say no, but that's just me. But, I mean, as I understand it now, I think a good chunk of the Congress is against it. I'm not sure about the Senate. I think that's on its way. As we know, of course, everybody who are, I mean, the well-loved, I guess I should say, Obama said that he won't sign a thing. And last night in the South Carolina Republican debate, they all said that they would not sign such a thing because they felt it was encroaching on freedom of speech. But they did say that, you know, they do think people should have the right to protect their content and whatnot, but I don't know. But in regards to blackout, I don't think the blackout is what we have to credit for all of this stuff happening. I think that the high end leaders in the presidency and in the Republican field did have a role in it. And you know, if both parties are against it, who does that leave in Congress to support that? So. But as I said last week, it's not about censorship or something like that. It's about the ability to protect your content. And let's be clear here that stopping piracy does not mean stopping free speech. You do not need the Pirate Bay or Mega Upload to promote free speech. Now, do you? I mean, do you really? Do you need the Pirate Bay or Mega Upload to have free speech online?
Yes.
Personally, I don't think so. Why?
I'm just going to say the old-fashioned idea is that lots of startup bands, they don't have the money to actually make a ton of CDs. They actually put their songs out on touring.
No. We're talking about free speech because that's the argument against this. Do you need the Pirate Bay for free speech?
Sure, why not?
Why?
Why not?
Why?
No comments.
Well, since you have no comment on that, I'm going to assume, like, since you can't come up with an idea on that, I'm going to assume that you have no idea, therefore you can't support your claim. So, anyways,
I'm just going
on from that.
You know more about this than me, so I'm not saying anything.
Okay, well, I just think that something still has to be done. And, you know, it's an example that, you know, stopping piracy can happen. It does happen in the U.S. And I say that this whole SOPA PIPA thing would have been essentially the same thing that happened to Mega Upload, except for foreign websites, to prevent them from being accessed in the U.S. Now, breaking DNS, that's a different story. There has to be a different way around this. I mean, just install a mandate that every ISP install a firewall, and websites that are declared to be illegal in terms of infringing rights get blocked. That would be the best way of doing it, rather without breaking DNS. Because the way it was set up is that this was set to set up to use the DNS system, which, as for anybody out there doesn't know, the DNS system basically takes a named domain name, so something.com, and translates it into an IP address that your computer can send a request to. So with that, this would have essentially done a man-in-the-middle attack, which would have been breaking DNS, breaking that process. So there could have been another way around it, but anyways. Next part regarding draconian rules for government improved ID for registering a top-level domain. Personally, I don't know what you're calling draconian here. You have to provide your name and your location in order to buy a domain name. It's always been that way. If that's what you're calling draconian, I don't know what would be undraconian, because if you think about it, when you buy a domain name, you have to give a means of paying the bill, right? That certain yearly fee. So they have to have your address, and with your address, you can reverse look up who lives there. So, I wouldn't call it draconian at all, really, because essentially that is needed, because what if, for instance, that domain name starts sending out malicious requests and they need to contact the owner of it? They need that information. They also need that information to bill you the $9.95 per year.
Actually, you actually also missed the anonymous reaction, which I don't know what that is. But
well, we're going to discuss that after in tech news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I skipped over that, because we're going to discuss that in tech news.
Okay. Broad awareness and... So this basically the whole internet going blackout thing was just to bring awareness to it, and quite frankly, bring awareness doesn't really do much of it anyway. You just make things inconvenient.
You just make things like inconvenient for the normal person out there. And like I said, really, do you think that Wikipedia is the biggest one? Do you really think websites like Reddit and other websites geared towards us as the technologically inclined will do anything for the mainstream out there? I think the biggest one was Wikipedia. And even then, not everybody uses Wikipedia.
Actually, it's okay. Never mind. My thought is completely out. All right, so you take the next one, Shane.
From the RR Man. Hey, buddies, who picks the scale of the month? What program is used, or is it pulled out of a hat? Also, how long is a skill out of the running once it's been picked? Peace out, RR Man. Well, Skill of the Month is picked by a little script every month. It's random, except for when a new skill comes out, and the same skill can't be picked for 3 months in a row. So this month's skill was Slayer, so that means that in February, March, and April cannot be Slayer.
Yeah, Slayer is awesome, Shane. You should get 99 Slayer already.
No, I don't want to get 99 Slayer. No, thank you. But
you can probably get your 99 defense and strength and constitution at the same time.
Oh yeah, more than that. Getting 99, I'm currently 88. So, anyways, I think that's all there is to answer about that one. So fairly simple. Thank you. Next one.
All right, this is some Sorensen. There you go. Sorensen 57. Hi, Shane and Chucky. Next month, the Tazar graphical update and the new Tazar boss will be released. Are you going to be willing to sacrifice your fire kit in an attempt at a new, probably a lot harder waves? Also, how many fire capes do each of you own? How many times did you attempt Jab before you received your fire cape? Mine was an awful 7 attempts. So let's talk about how many times have you... How many fire capes do you have, Shane?
Just one. What about you?
One. I didn't want to go through it again.
No, neither do I. So we'll see when that comes out. I don't want to sacrifice my fire cape.
How many times did you do before you got it?
Oh, lots.
Really? Took me two tries to get it. First time I got screwed because I was like, wait, what's coming? Oh, damn. I was dead at the second attack. Oh, all that work. And then second time I did better.
You know, to be fair, they did make some enhancements to this thing. When I did it, when it first came out and whatnot, between waves, you could not log out. It would not save your progress. So if you disconnected, you were done.
Mm.
I think that happened once. Then, of course, you succumb to the whole lag thing. And, you know, this is the biggest problem I have with RuneScape boss fights in general. I mean, you are fighting this boss. You know what you have to do. It's a toggling between prayers for whichever animation he does with his feet. So you just have to click to the right prayer at the right time and make sure you don't get stomped by the thing. But the problem with that is that you're dealing with a server response. So you say press prayer, and if your ping is 100 milliseconds to the server, that's 100 milliseconds that you have to wait. And what if you're out by a few milliseconds and you get hit because of that? That's my problem with RuneScape in general, with these kind of combat-based things. And we said it last week, even for the Firemaker's Curse quest, it's really annoying to do these kind of things like that rely on good ping. So I kind of wish there was another mechanic to do this, where they could maybe sandbox this thing some way so that you didn't need to communicate with the Jagex servers for one of these boss fights, so a prayer would be instant on and a prayer would be instant off. A move would be an instant move to a certain place rather than trying to wait for the server to respond and do it for you. So that's my biggest issue with these boss fights. But I won't be sacrificing my cape if that is indeed a requirement.
I don't feel like killing Jet again. Two times was enough.
We'll have to get someone on the show who will sacrifice their cape for this.
But what I also think is, you know, one thing I still wish to kind of fix up is the whole boss dance. You know, the dance when you have a big ass monster and you're dancing around and it's like, and you have to run out and you probably get hit by it in the back, and that's always annoying. Yes. You can't really, I don't know how you would fix that anyway, so good luck with that one.
Yeah. Anyways. Thank you, Sorensen57. As a reminder to everybody, audio questions. We like audio questions. You can send one in just like Aiden did. Those can be emailed to questions@rsbnb.com. Please attach the file so we can see it. Alternatively, you can phone them in to the Google Voice number, which is 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. Or finally, if that's too hard for you, you can just leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just add the username RSBNBUpdate, leave us a voicemail, and we'll do our best to get that question on the show.
All right.
Tech news.
We
would discuss Mega Upload.
Yes.
Mega Upload was shut down by the U.S. federal government. And, you know, as we said, this did happen the day after the SOPA PIPA blackout. Personally, I don't think that this was a response to the blackout because, I mean, what good would having shutting down one of these websites do that's clearly against, clearly is supportive of piracy, right? Because the way it works is that you have to receive an order to shut this website down. You can't just have this website shut down right away. It has to be shut down on grounds that there is infringing content there. And I'm sure Mega Upload would have had the chance to remove this content if they wanted to. But anyways, the Justice Department in a statement said that Kim.com, formerly known as Kim Schmitz, and three others were arrested Thursday in New Zealand at the request of U.S. officials. And two other defendants are still at large. And the indictment success of Mega Upload cost copyrights holders more than $500 million in lost revenues from pirated films and other content. They said, you know, Mega Upload was not... It wasn't high profile because of its massive size or volume downloaded. It also had high-profile celebrities, musicians, and other content producers supporting the website.
And, oh well, something we can do. They'll probably bring it back up, just probably take some time. But
yeah, just put it in a different country and, you know, different name and just reskin it a bit and there you go. But
and, you know, keep in mind that the Mega Upload is not the only mass file sharing site on the internet. And if you really want to do this, you have to shut down lots of them. You have to shut down, RapidShare, MediaFire, probably need to shut down Hotlink, something like that. So they're not the only one. I guess they're one of the more bigger, helpier for downloading, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You have to shut down more than one.
And this is the thing with this, what I was saying earlier. Do you need Mega Upload to promote free speech? I mean, that's a simple question to answer, yes or no?
No comment.
Why no comment?
Because you know more than me.
Well, you must surely have an opinion on this in some way.
You know my opinion on this, and you won't like it anyway.
Well, what is it? Well, tell us anyways.
I use Mega Upload, dude.
Okay, and what did you use it for?
I used it to share my files with my friends that I've gotten.
We're not going to ask what kind of files those are because, quite frankly, I don't want to know.
Actually, but most of them are program files that I already have the disk for. I just put it on there because I usually throw away the disk.
Well, there you go. See? And whether or not that's illegal, I don't know because you're just essentially using it as a backup for yourself. So, is that illegal? I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer. But the point is that you don't need Mega Upload to promote free speech. So the comparison I made is that this shutdown is exactly what SOPA and PIPA would have allowed to do for a foreign website. Just block the view of it. So you don't need this website to promote free speech. That's the main thing that I was saying that was wrong about this whole protest. It needed to be about more anti-piracy and whether or not piracy is a bad thing, which I think it is. So I say congratulations to the federal government for shutting this website down. But this brought in a whole other storm from the group who's called Anonymous, who decided that, oh, because this website was shut down, we're going to shut down the Department of Justice website. And, you know, this is treading off into a different direction here, but the question is from that is, does the mere fact that Anonymous shut this down go controversial to what Anonymous stands for, in that they want people to be able to have their own right to say what they want to say? So shouldn't the Justice Department be able to say what they want to say on their website? So why should Anonymous be shutting them down? That seems a little bit hypocritical of the group right there, but anyways.
Well, also keep in mind, we both agreed that Anonymous is a cyber terrorist group anyway.
Yes, that is true.
Yes.
There's actually a forum topic about this where we were discussing that, so.
Mm-hmm.
One more piece of news on this, and we'll move on to some good news. Google was partially partaking in this by blacking out their logo, but of course not shutting down the search service because that would be detrimental to them. But they did say that websites who participated in this and hid their content would not have their search results affected by this. And isn't this a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Isn't this a little bit hypocritical of Google?
Well,
Google says they don't interfere in the search results of a website, but they're doing exactly this by saying that, oh, if you black your site out for a day to protest, you'll be fine. Your search results won't disappear. When really, I think they should disappear, because if you are blacking out for a day, shouldn't you be subject to everybody else on the web on a normal day? What would happen? What if I decide to black my website out tomorrow and other people other websites move up in the search ranking because mine can't be found. Should I get my website search results ignored for that day because I'm protesting something else that Google doesn't know about? I wouldn't, but I don't think this is why I don't think Google should have done this this week. So that was a little bit annoying, but.
Well, if you also think about it, they didn't really shut down their website anyway. They just blocked their logo, which...
I'm saying websites like Wikipedia and Reddit and stuff did indeed block out their content.
Yes, I know, but Google obviously did not block out because they know how much money they'll be making from the searches anyway.
Exactly. So why should they be modifying search results based on this for websites that make their content disappear for a day?
Well, hey, Google has money. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's completely contrary to their view of we're not going to mess with search results, which is what annoyed me with this. I mean, Google is a great tool and everything, but this isn't something to switch to Bing over, but I don't agree with it.
Well, we'll see what happens when what happened next week.
And, you know, it's a troubling world of double standards. Once you set a double standard, it'll just keep going down that road and set double standards for who knows what. So I think Google was in the wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, moving on to some good news now.
You take it.
Are you excited about this one?
Not really, no.
Okay. Well, yesterday, Thursday, Apple had an announcement regarding textbooks and an updated iBooks platform and a major partnership with three of the biggest textbook manufacturers in the U.S., or publishers, I mean, together encompassing about 90% of the textbook industry. Essentially, it's going to be like the App Store. Textbooks will be available in the iBook Store, max price of $14.99 a piece, completely interactive, auto-updating textbooks, everything on your iPad. Though some of them are up to 2 gigabytes in size, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is one step closer to what we saw on Terra Nova regarding students having these little slates in front of them at school and just using that for all their work, you know?
Uh-huh. And then one day an EMP blast will blow and all of a sudden everybody loses their textbook and it's like, I don't know what to do now. I still prefer to have my textbooks paperback. I mean, when I had the ebooks, I used them because they were just a little more useful, but I still preferred having a regular book where I can grab a highlighter and actually take my time. And sometimes reading the screen just hurts my eyes.
But you can do that with an iPad. You can do that with an iPad. You can highlight stuff.
I know that, but I still prefer, you know, I'm old fashioned like that. I prefer to have the regular book. There's a reason why I still read books because, you know, I don't feel like getting a Kindle just to read one. I like the feel of being able to turn the page, you know, instead of swiping your finger all the time.
Now here's another thing with this. What if you were in a biology class or something and you were looking at a complex model of a structure in the brain? Wouldn't it be nice to have, rather than just a static flat picture, to actually have a 3D model of the brain that you could actually manipulate and spin around and view from all different angles?
Yes, I saw the real thing. I had the real thing, Shane, remember?
No, but I mean, anywhere you are. I mean, let's be realistic here. It's a great idea for textbooks. It's just a question of whether or not it'll catch on.
It's going to take, I would say it would take another half a generation for this to really become mainstream. Unless they can bring the price of iBooks down to a reasonable level, it's still going to be a hassle for most schools to afford, and considering all the budget that's happening around, this is not going to become mainstream anytime soon. And like I said, someone steals the one EMP blast, or someone steals it, you lost all the textbooks you've had, and what you going to do about it?
Redownload them?
Oh, right. It's Apple, huh? Duh.
Yeah.
Sorry, stupid moment. But then again, if someone steals it or you sit on it, it's going to suck. And you have to
Is that iPad 3 is supposed to be sometime out this spring, and there's been rumblings that, you know, Apple might keep iPad 2 out as a cheaper version, so they could give an education discounts on those, and there you go, you got a $100 iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how much one book costs. So so schools just buy 400 iPads like that rather than buying $400 textbooks, and there you go.
And it's reusable.
Exactly.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But definitely progress towards the future on this. And, you know, Apple did it with the music and movie industry, so why can't they do it for textbooks, right?
Well,
I mean, I swear, some, if you look back, there would have been somebody that said the same thing that you just said about iTunes and MP3 players in probably 1998 or something. They're too expensive. Nobody has these. It's going to take a long time to get mass adoption. I prefer CDs, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's a natural progression with this. So
it will catch on. It will just take a while. But you know, the sad part is Jobs is no longer here. So who knows what he would have done sooner or later.
Well, you know, this was actually one of his last projects. He was working on it in June of last year. So they do know that. But anyways, hopefully you guys in the U.S. who have iPads are in a school that uses one of the textbooks that's on here. So by all means, congratulations. Also, they did release a free ebook creator for the Mac platform. So anybody can make an ebook now that wants to.
Let me see.
That's it for tech news. Unless you have anything else on that.
I got nothing on tech news. I've been way too busy this week.
All right. Time for a Skill of the Month update. January looks like most of the competition has slowed down a bit, but
no reason
not to talk about it.
Dude. What the heck is he doing? Does he have a life anymore?
I don't know. But Sorensen57 has 3.1 million experience gained so far.
And One Stone Pwn is at 1.4 million. Adiv is at 1.1 mil. And Sir Cormac is at 1.13. So lastly, we find out who's going to win already. But
yep, but there's still time for one of these people to catch up, one of the top three, if they work really hard for the rest of the month and Sorensen were to stop. But I don't know what he's doing.
I'm saying lots of cannons. That's what I assume. I'm thinking lots of cannonballs.
So we'll be back next week, of course, to check out that. When we're a few days away from an ending. Achievements of the week.
Wow, we have a lot of them this week.
We got a whole boatload. I think this might be record tying. So first up, Lord Rickles 99 fire making on the 18th. Congratulations.
You also got 99 cooking on the same day, so I'm guessing it was all together. Henzi123 got 99 dungeoneering. Yay, now go for 120.
That was on the 16th. And ILovePie60 got 99 attack on the 15th.
Jamin Sinus got 99 range on January 15th. And XantX got 99 prayer. So congratulations to you all. Go for 120 dungeoneering, and I hope you become a great keyer. You'll make lots of money doing that.
Oh, people make money from that now.
Yes. The crazy thing is that what they do now is they'll have one person who can leech. Basically, you just stay in the center and don't do anything unless we tell you to come to a lever room or something. Basically, he pays like a couple million GP for each floor. And you have like you, then the keyer gets like two or three other people. Gets three other people completely random who do the dungeon normally. So he's making, like, basically the keyer makes a lot of money doing this. And if you're really good, you can make a lot.
How much money would it cost me to leech off level 72 to 73, 113k?
I have no idea.
Because that's what I need for my bone crusher.
Right now. Well, right now, they're doing a bunch of fours, each for like 1 to 2 million GP. But the thing is, they're all occults. So you need around like roughly, like occults are, well, a couple of people do abandons, but usually they're occults and warp. So they're way up there.
Ugh. Well, that makes sense. I don't know what Jagex's position is on this. That, since it seems a bit like a trust trade, but I guess if you want to put your money in someone else's pocket, go right ahead.
Well, they usually don't get paid until the very end, and so basically you go in and they do the dungeon.
So what's stopping the person from logging out then and not paying?
Trust. But the thing is that what I've seen some people do, pay half when they get to the boss and they pay half when they get out. So it's up to you if you want to do it or not. I prefer to just dungeon with good friends. So even though it may be tedious, at least you have people you can talk to that you know aren't going to completely piss you off like some other people.
Yes, that is one of the problems of dungeoneering.
So many stupid people on RS.
All right, so you have a pick for us this week.
Yes, well, actually, it's kind of you're picking my pick. So on January 17th, Star Trek Online became free to play, and I kind of jumped into it just to try it out. So if you want to give it a shot, go on StarTrekOnline.com and download their clients. It takes a while to download it, and then just wait for it to patch itself up. So you can either choose any alien race from the universe or create your own, and you can name it and fly around little ships and shoot little guns. Pew, pew.
What do you think so far?
It's the user interface could use some work. I still think it's a little lot of information overload, and there's still so many bugs and glitches in it that just drives me nuts.
Yeah, if you think it's bad now, it was really bad when it first came out. It felt like a rough beta, but yeah.
Well, there's a reason why many of them, many big companies like Blizzard do say the whole, it's released when it's ready. And usually I always say, if your game's not ready, don't release it. You just make people madder. And you know, those players who want to play, they'll wait. You know, we always wait. PC gamers, we always get delays in every single game anyway. We're so used to it,
Remember how long we were waiting for StarCraft 2?
It was like, what, 2-3 years?
More than that.
Well, not counting the Brood War, but when it was first announced, yeah, we were waiting. Well, I was like, you know, but look at what happened, though. It became like it's a national sport here in South Korea, and it's almost a sport arena thing over here in the U.S. and lots of other countries.
Yep.
So give Star Trek Online, a try, and if you like the free to play, stay. And if you want to subscribe, you get more content. Ish.
No, I don't think it's more content. I think it's just a few unlocks here and there, because you get access to all the missions and everything. That's free to play. So it's essentially like RuneScape's free to play. So I think RuneScape is a testament to this free to play model, and that, yes, you know, Star Trek Online is free to play. So why not base this off RuneScape?
The thing is that lots of games are actually becoming free to play now. Lots of MMOs are becoming free to play. And I think what kind of, I want to say, kind of jump started the whole free to play was Team Fortress 2. You remember when they first went free to play, and then there was like a massive amount of people that went in. Well, what happened was
you want to go first? But I think the first true trailblazers in this were from RuneScape, actually. So, in the MMO market, at least, for such a massive game to be free like that. So we have to give credit to RuneScape for some of that stuff. But anyways, we're straying off topic here. So what have you been doing?
You go first, Shane.
Okay. This week on RuneScape, not much at all. Currently deciding what to do and how I can do it, because, you know, sometimes you just log in and it's like, oh, I don't want to go fight glaciers tonight to go get blue charms. That kind of thing. It feels tiring, but I'm just trying to find a way to spring myself into the game. If anybody has any ideas, let me know. But of course, I still like my farming runs and whatnot, so I've been doing herb farming runs this week primarily, and checking out the updates, of course. And we just killed that wolf before we started here, so that was good.
Yes.
Aside from that, I've been doing a good deal of programming this week, primarily in Objective-C, working on my personal little project, and also doing some RSBNB work for Skill of the Month, as we mentioned, our little thing that chooses the skill every month. So I essentially automated that so that nobody needs to post a Skill of the Month topic anymore. So it's fully automated.
Okay, and what's the other thing? I've been doing? I've just been running around the Bay Area for the past week or so in preparation for Chinese New Year next week.
Okay,
that's just been me. I've been driving everywhere. Shoot, I need a break.
And it's coming up the Year of the Dragon, right?
Yes. This Monday on the 23rd. 23rd is Chinese New Year, so starting that day, it will be considered Year of the Dragon. Yeah, so we'll talk about more of that next week.
All right, anything else?
Don't do drugs.
That's a good way to end out. So with that being said, we're done for this week, and we'll see you all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.